theme of Nahum is simply this: the character of God. The theme of Nahum is this: God is so good. God is so good. Do you remember when you were a kid and you sang that little song? God is so good. Remember that? Sing it with me. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. That's the theme of Nahum. And we're going to break it up into three parts. This morning, we're going to discover this. God's character is revealed in the book of Nahum. Do you want to know what that verse was that my friend sent me that just impacted my life? And it's actually the outline of the entire book. It's Nahum 1:7. Let's read from God's word. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. When I read that verse in that email, it gripped my heart and said, God, I may not be able to believe that you are good when I look at the health of my wife. I may not be able to believe that you are good when I look at the rate that my church is growing, or the money that's in my bank account, or the way that my neighbors or my parents or my children are treating me. But I'm going to hold on to the promise of Nahum 1:7. I'm going to choose to believe you are good. We pasted that verse all over the house. We got window markers and wrote it all over the windows and all over the mirrors. We sat down as a family. We memorized that verse. We quoted it. We prayed through it. I have sections of my journal that are just filled up with my impressions. And as I meditate on it, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. God, we're going to trust that you are a good God. That's the theme. And so this morning, we're going to look at just the first third of that one verse and try to unpack it. God, you are good. But before we do that, this is what I want you to do. I want you to find a little space there on your notes, whatever you're taking notes with this morning. Find a pen. How's it going in your life and in your soul this morning? What is it that you need God to address with His promise, the Lord is good? I want to give you about 60 seconds. What's going on in your life and in your soul that just when you look at it, it's hard for you to believe the Lord is good? I want you to write something down right now, because that's going to become the context that God's going to speak into our lives here this morning. What is it? I mean, some of you are going through seasons of life. Some of you are younger and you're having struggles with parents that just don't get you and what you're going through. Some of you are parents and you don't get why your teenagers are going through that season of life where they don't get you and there's struggles and tension. Some of you are married and there's conflict in your marriage. It's real hard. God, if you were good, why did you send me him? God, if you were good, why did I even get married? Some of you are single and you're like, God, if you were good, you would send me a mate. Some of you are going through health issues. Some of you are going through unemployment issues and business failures. Some of you are facing some surgery. Some of you have faced the loss of a loved one. Some of you are facing cancer. Some of you have some threats. Some of you are living with neighbors that are just difficult people. What is it that's going on in your soul and in your life that it's hard for you to believe Nahum 1:7? God is good. Now, God has been good to Andrea and I. Andrea had surgery, cut out the cancer. For all we know, Andrea's cancer-free, no radiation, no chemo, and Andrea's going to live a long life. And God has been good. But can I share something with you? If Andrea had died on the operating table, if Andrea had wasted away with cancer after enduring months of radiation and the sickness and the nausea and shriveling up to nothing and dying a painful death, can I tell you the reality? God would have been just as good. You know, we don't applaud when we say that, do we? But it's true. It's hard to applaud, but it's true. Do you really believe that God is good? You see, for too long, what do? We view our circumstances in life, and we say, I'm going to determine whether or not I believe God is good through the way God treats me. Instead of saying, I believe God is good no matter what's going on in my life, I can face the circumstances in my life with the truth, knowing that God is good. But we get it upside down. We decide whether or not we believe God is good based on the circumstances that He allows. We're going to have to discover that God is good in spite of whatever it is that we allow. A.W. Tozer said this, the most important thing about you is what comes to mind when you think of God. It determines how you handle and think about every other issue in your life. He says this, before the Christian church goes into an eclipse, anywhere there must first be a corrupting of her simple basic theology. She simply gets wrong the answer to the question, what is God like? And goes on from there. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. Were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to the question, what comes to your mind when you think about God, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. You see, if you're here this morning and you're looking at that list I just asked you to make, and you really don't believe God is good, it's going to determine your spiritual future. It's going to determine the course of your life from that point on. Do you really believe that God is good? So we're going to ask some questions here this morning and try to provide some answers. The first question is this. What is the goodness of God? It's the first thing that we teach our children, isn't it? Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good. We want our children to know that God is so good. We teach them that song. Why is it? We want to evoke a response in them. We want a response of gratitude. We want a response of serving and worshiping this God. And so we teach them that God is good. The word good there in Nahum 1:7 is the Hebrew word tob. It means pleasant. It means desirable, agreeable, beautiful, fair, generous. It's that which brings joy, prosperity, that which brings happiness, that which brings beauty and glory. It is the perfection of God's character which He exercises toward His people in the midst of their circumstances. It is God's moral superiority. The Lord is good. It is the sum of all of His love, all of His mercy, all of His compassion, all of His patience, favor, grace toward undeserving sinners who have no appreciation for His goodness. God's goodness is incomprehensible to the human mind. We cannot even comprehend how good is, and yet sometimes we stand back and look at what God does and say, God, that was not good. God never places the measuring rod of good in the hand of man. He reserves the right to tell us what is good. In short, God's goodness is two things. It is God giving, and it is God forgiving. That is the sum of His goodness. Again, A.W. Tozer says this in The Knowledge of the Holy. The goodness of God is that which disposes Him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of good will toward men. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy, and His unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. Is that what you think of when you think of God? He's friendly towards you. He's cordial towards you. By His nature, He is inclined to bestow blessedness, and He takes holy pleasure in the happiness of His people. Is that what comes to mind when you think of God? Or do you think of an angry God? Do you think of a God that crosses His arms and looks at you and says, why can't you get it together? And by the way, what are you doing down there trying to have fun? Quit that. No, God's goodness takes pleasure when you and I are rejoicing and happy and secure. He doesn't talk down to us. He doesn't look at us with a scowl. He's never put out with us. He never loses patience with us. He doesn't, like I do with my children, look at my children and go, ah! Why can't you get it together? I have told you how to do this. Why can't you do it? He never does that. God is for us. He is not down on you in any way because the Lord is good. Do you believe that? Here's another question. How does God express his goodness to you and I? I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 145. And I want you to see an expression of God's goodness. Everybody turn your Bible to Psalm 145. God expresses his goodness to us in two ways. He does it with a general, sweeping, broad distribution of his blessing, and he does it in, number two, specific acts of delivering his people. Now, this morning, we're just talking about his general blessing toward his people, and there's no better place to examine that than Psalm 145, beginning in verse 8. Look at it. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is, what's the word? Good. What does it say? Read it with me. Psalm 145, verse 9. Read it together. The Lord is good. His mercy is over all that he has made. How much of God's goodness extends to what he has made? All of it. Skip down to verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are failing. Anybody here failing? Anybody ever failed a course in school? Anybody ever failed in a marriage? Failed in a business? Failed in your parenting? Failed with finances? Fail to be a good neighbor? Yeah, it's all of us. And God says he upholds all who are failing and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. Is that what comes to mind when you think of God? You're praying, you're asking God to do some things. Do you see him just, no, I got all the good that you need, but I'm not giving you any of it. That's what I do as a dad. There's certain candy and gum and especially the package of Oreos that sits in the counter right where I like them. And I go and I find no Oreos. They leave the package, no Oreos. Those were my Oreos because Oreos are good, right? Well, God never withholds his Oreos. He opens his hand. He distributes freely. He opens his hands. It says in verse 16, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, kind in all of his works. The Lord is near to those who call on him, to those who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Why? Tell me. Because the, say it with me, the Lord is good. Say it again. The Lord is good. How does he express his goodness? He does it just because he is. He generally opens his hand, and even for the rebellious, even for the sinners, for a season of time, he is good and gracious and gives them that which they do not deserve. The second way he expresses his goodness is really what we're going to get into next week, is specific times when he comes to the rescue of those who have blown it. Okay? We're going to look at that more next week. But let's talk more about the goodness of God. Third question here that we want to answer this morning is this. How can I know if I'm trusting God's goodness? How can I know if I'm trusting God's goodness? And you might say, well, why is it even a question? If God is so good, then why wouldn't we just naturally respond to him and pursue him and want to know him more? Well, interestingly, as much as we hold on to that truth rationally and objectively, we believe the proposition the Lord is good. Did you know that that declaration from the Bible is actually the greatest obstacle to some people's faith? As a matter of fact, the Oxford Companion to Philosophy says that the problem of evil is, quote, the most powerful objection to traditional theism. Theism is the belief of God. And so the existence of evil, remember all those things you just wrote down on your paper? The objective truth that that is a reality, and what we just read in Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, for some people those are incompatible truths. As a matter of fact, Sam Harris, who's an atheist, one of the authors of the latest round of atheist books that are coming out and flying off the shelves. He wrote this in 2006 in his book called A Letter to a Christian Nation. This is what Sam Harris, an atheist, says. If God exists, either he can do nothing to stop the most egregious calamities, or he does not care to. God, therefore, is either impotent or evil. There is another possibility, of course, and it is both the most reasonable and least odious. The biblical God is fiction, like Zeus and the thousands of other dead gods whom most sane human beings now ignore. And so for Sam Harris and others, atheists that are out there, they look at the calamity and the tragedy and the evil and the heartbreak and the cancer and all the junk that we have to deal with in this world, and they say this: if there is a God, he must not be good, because if he was good, he would do something about the evil. So either he is not good, or maybe he is good. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good God. He just didn't have enough power to do anything about it. I mean, maybe he cares and maybe he's loving and concerns, but he's just so weak and impotent that the power of evil has overcome him. And so because they cannot reconcile those two with the biblical God of the Bible, they choose not to believe in him at all. So do you really trust God's goodness? There's a difference between giving mental assent and affirmation to the truth that God is good and living in a way that demonstrates trust in the goodness of God. Several years ago, I was in a Life Action Summit down in Florida, and there was a teacher in a school that told us this story. When this teacher was a child, his brother, 7 years old, got very sick. And they didn't know what was going on. The doctors couldn't find a solution, and so in an attempt to find healing for this brother, that family took him from faith healer to faith healer to faith healer, all promising that if they had enough faith, this good God that we believe in would heal that child. That child died. And now his brother grew up rejecting the God of the Bible because he could not reconcile how a good God could allow a bad thing to happen to his child. We are in great danger when we teach a prosperity gospel that says God is good because he does good things. That is not true. God is not good because he does good things. God does good things because he is good. And whatever he does is good, even if it doesn't look good to a finite human mind like me. And so as you think about God, we need to understand it is one thing to believe in that objectively and another thing to trust him in the sense that we believe he is good. You see, the reason we're horrified by evil and tragedy and calamity is because the norm is that you and I expect to experience good. You see, atheists love to point to the problem of evil, but they rarely point to the problem of good. There is good in this world. It's a general good, but most people, the average person, has a measure of good in their life. They love, they laugh, they have people that surround them, they enjoy this life. Even irreligious people, in some sense, believe that those are blessings from God. And so I want to give us a little test here this morning. It might be a little painful for us. I want us to test whether we trust the goodness of God. And see if you can pass this little test. 10 questions here. We're going to throw them up on the screen. Please don't try to write them down. Just mentally answer the question in your mind. Number one, do I have an assurance that my sin has been forgiven? When you think about the evil of your sin, the worst 15 minutes of your life, the last thing that you would want us to show on a video in front of this congregation, if you have repented of that sin, trusted Christ for salvation, Do you have an assurance that God is so good that that horrible crime committed against the holy God of the universe is forgiven totally? Why? Not because you are good, but because he is good. Do you have an assurance of that? If not, it could be you really don't believe God is that good. He's mad at you for something. As a matter of fact, that's the next question. Do you have a sense that God is angry at you? And when you blow it, when you fail, when you get angry, he's angry at you for getting angry. Do you have a sense of an angry God? It could be that you don't trust the goodness of God. Do I continually have an attitude of gratitude? One of the things that I want to be true of my life is that no matter what circumstance, no matter what's going on, that immediately my initial response, my first response would be to thank God rather than to complain and moan and worry about how bad I've got it and compare to what other people have. Do I have a sense of joy when I hear of God's goodness to others? Somebody else gets a raise. Somebody else, child comes to faith in Christ. Somebody finds a job and you're still on unemployment. And do you have a sense of joy when you hear of God's goodness to somebody else? If not, are you really trusting in the goodness of God? Do I believe that I have more than I deserve if I never receive another gift from God? If God never answers another prayer, if he never extends another grace toward me, if he never gives me another gift, do I still trust his goodness? Because I already have more than I deserve. Am I generous with what God has given me? Is it easy for me to meet needs and give out of what God has given to me? Or are you hoarding and protective and it's all mine? Or do you see everything that you have as a gracious gift of a good God that you understand he didn't give it to me because I was good. He gave it to me because he was good. And it doesn't belong to me. It all belongs to him. And I can give it away easily because I believe this good God I'm trusting in can give back more than I can give away. Are you really trusting in the goodness of God? Can I thank God for every person and every situation that he has allowed into my life? Hey, when you were writing down those difficulties earlier, did you happen to put down anybody's name? Or maybe draw a picture and then circle it and cross it out? It's like, if that person wasn't in my life, things would be better. You ever have that thought? Well, listen, can you thank God for every person in every situation that he has allowed in my life? Thank God. God, I thank you for that person. You say, God, why would I ever thank God for that person? Because ultimately, if you have a problem with that person, you have a problem with God. God is the one that created that person. God is the one that allowed the circumstances of your life to intersect with that person. Can you thank God for that? How about this? Am I critical, bitter, or vengeful toward those who have hurt me? Did you know that all bitterness is ultimately against God? If we really believe God is sovereign, that he supersedes the intentions of men, that he is transcended and ultimately all things are in his control, if I have a problem with a person or if I'm seeking revenge against a person or if I'm spiteful and I'm trying to get revenge, ultimately I've got a problem with the goodness of God. Do I speak openly and freely of the ways that he has been good to me? If I ask you just, hey, tell me something in your life that's good. Tell me, how has God been good to you this week? Would you sit there and it's like, well, I just really can't think of anything God's done for me. Well, listen, God's done hundreds of things for you this week. Are you aware of them? Are you trusting in the goodness of God? Do I have an overwhelming desire to draw closer to him and know him more deeply? You see, if our concept of God is that he's angry, that he's not good and he's mad at us, the last thing you want to do is draw near to a person like that. But if God is gracious and compassionate and merciful, then I can come into his presence. I can embrace who he is. I want to get to know him better because he is a good person who has extended good to me. Do you really trust in the goodness of God? Here's the fourth question. How should I respond to the goodness of God? How should you respond? It may surprise you, but do you know the first response of the human heart when you wrap your mind around the goodness of God is to repent. To repent. That's what Paul taught us in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? You see, it is his goodness, it's his grace, it's his love, that when we wrap our minds around that, he opens our eyes to how good he is. It ought to change the way we live our lives. We live our lives now in worship to him. We live our lives now in obedience to him because of his goodness. You're heading in one direction. God intersects your life with how good he is, how gracious he is, and it changes the direction of your life. If that change has never taken place, maybe it's because you've never understood Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. He's good. Secondly, how should you respond? Rest. Rest in God's goodness no matter what circumstance you're going through. No matter how hard the adversity, no matter how terminal the illness, no matter how bad the circumstances, no matter how low the bank account, whether or not Congress passes another unemployment benefits package, God is good. Because my confidence is not in Congress. My confidence is not in my health. My confidence is in God. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. One of the greatest Bible expositors of the last quarter century. In the last series that we did here at Harvest, the Just Jesus series, where we walked through the I Am statements of Jesus, I was greatly blessed and benefited by the writings of James Montgomery Boyce. In May of 2000, Dr. Boyce stood in front of his church to announce that he'd been diagnosed with liver cancer. This is the way that he announced that to his church. Should you pray for a miracle? Well, you're free to do that, of course. My general impression is that the God who is able to do miracles, and he certainly can, is also able to keep you from getting the problem in the first place. So although miracles do happen, they're rare by definition. Above all, I would say pray for the glory of God. If you think of God's glorifying himself in history and you say, where in all of history has God most glorified himself? He did it at the cross of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't by delivering Jesus from the cross, though he could have. God is in charge. When things like this come into our lives, they are not accidental. It's not as if somehow God forgot what he was doing and somehow bad slipped by him. God is not only the one who is in charge, God is also good. Everything he does is good. If God does something in your life, would you change it? If you'd change it, you'd make it worse. It wouldn't be as good. 8 weeks later, the pastor who had taught his people how to live taught them how to die. And he went to be with the Lord in a short amount of time. God is good. Can you rest in the sovereignty of God? He's not good because he does good things. He is simply good. Thirdly, return gratitude. As an act of worship. Return gratitude as an act of worship. Listen, the time to decide whether or not you believe God is good is before you go through something bad. Fourthly, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Dr. Boyce said it there in his statement. Listen, if you've ever asked the question, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Do you know what the answer to that question is? Look at the cross. And ask a different question. Not, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why did you allow that to happen to him? It should be a comfort to know that the best person who ever lived went through the worst possible circumstance. Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, not because he was bad, but because I was bad. God treated Jesus as if he had committed every sin of every person who would ever exist, and Jesus took that on himself at the cross. Think about it. Christianity, the God of the Bible, is the only faith story whereby our God enters into our problem, our trouble, our sin, our evil. Jesus left his throne where he was eternally good and entered into a very bad world and took upon himself the evil, took upon himself the hatred, took upon himself the sin. Do you know what it's like to be lonely? And you're miserable because you're lonely? God, send me a husband. God, send me a wife. God, you took my bride. You took my husband. I'm now divorced. Have you ever been lonely? Look at Jesus on the cross and hear him screaming to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew what it was like to be lonely. And Jesus took upon himself the very things you and I suffer with, the trouble, the evil. Why? Because he is good. You ever feel physical pain? Going through a health issue? Going through a surgery? See Jesus on the cross, bleeding, suffering violence and abuse from people who are bad. The next time you're tempted to ask, God, why are you doing this to me? You might want to look at the cross and say, God, why didn't you do that to me? That's what I deserved. But because you are good, because you are merciful, Jesus Christ took upon himself that which I deserved. Finally, risk. Risk trusting God like never before. Hey, what would you do? How would it change your life? What risk would you take if you really believed that God was good? He's for you. Nothing can stand against you. His enemies have been defeated. What would you do? What's been preventing you from surrendering fully, totally to this God that we're talking about? What keeps you reserved? What keeps you over here protected? You know what it is? You really don't believe you can trust God's goodness. That if you surrendered totally to him, took your hands off your life, took your hands off your family, took your hands off your finances, and said, God, I give it all away. I give it to you. Because I'm going to trust that you are good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. God is so good. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Micah's going to come up here. Let's sing it together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to... Get us in the right key, Micah.